And welcome to another episode of Women's Health Explained with me, Jessica, and with the lovely Lindsay Davis today. A little bit about Lindsay. She's the founder of 1B Consulting, and while conducting research on a client's DEI project, Lindsay noted a gap for an industry association for those working or investing in women's health, and the technology space. So therefore, she founded the wonderful FemTech Association of Asia in October 2021, and has since driven collaborations globally to raise awareness for the region's FemTech industry, entrepreneurs and businesses, which, yeah, is pretty amazing. So welcome, Lindsay. And I guess, how are you doing today? And to start off, tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to see you again. It's been fun kind of getting to connect with the city that I call home, given that I lived in London for 14 years before moving out to Asia. So it's always nice to connect with people in the UK. Such a wonderful memory and a wonderful time for me, as well as, of course, being a citizen as I am. I moved to Singapore about 3.5 years ago, right before the pandemic started, in January of 2020. So when I first moved here, I had taken a few months off of work, obviously big international move, and just needed to relax after my last company. So I took a few months off, started my consulting business because I saw there were some gaps in the market for my skill set, which is essentially around business product and strategic development in the consumer and tech space. And so was working on a few projects for a few different clients. And one of my international clients actually was running a women's leadership conference. And so I hosted the stage from Singapore. They had, stages all around the world, and I hosted the one here in Singapore. And as we were going through, I met a wonderful woman who introduced me to the term femtech. And obviously, I thought, oh, I'd love to be involved in femtech, female technology, women's health and technology. Started looking into it and realized there kind of wasn't any group to bring together and unite the region as we had seen in, Canada or the US. So I actually launched it here in October of 2021. And now we are across 9 different countries through Asia, have over 50 companies, which, understanding that sounds small for an industry association, but the reality is Asia only represents around 14% of femtech businesses worldwide. But having said that, we are really poised for growth. And based on, the number of internet users, the population, younger generations really demanding more, I think there's a great opportunity for the industry here. So excited to be a part of it and to kind of been part of launching the ecosystem that we see here in Asia.
That's super amazing. I guess, how did you kind of go about setting that up? Because obviously it's such an amazing idea to kind of see that gap. But how do you kind of go from seeing that gap and actually actioning it and making something happen?
That it's such a good question, and it really comes down to some of the most incredible founders who are very collaborative and very supportive. And I say that because I was working with yet another client on some programming for their members, and they, I said, okay, well, this is an interesting topic. I don't know a lot about it. What's the best way to, to learn is to do research and talk with people in the space. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll pull together a series of events about femtech here in Singapore that I hadn't seen anything like that before. So I actually reached out to a bunch of entrepreneurs, investors, media partners, journalists, and actually every single person I reached out to say, I want to do an introduction to femtech panel, an innovation in femtech panel, and an investing in femtech panel. Really, sort of selfishly, because I wanted to learn, but obviously for my client as well, because it's an interesting, opportunity for investors, and the community to be a part of. And every single person I reached out to sit on one of these three panels wrote back to me within 5 minutes and said, absolutely, I'll be on the panel.
Oh,
So
wow.
I guess there was some interest and people really wanting to build a community around this. And I was talking to one of these founders, and she said, are you going to start an association? Are you going to bring us all together? We all know each other, but how great if we could actually set something up that we could all be a part of as founders, professionals, or people in this industry. And I thought, well, I guess I will. So I launched it, and that's kind of it came from just, I guess, curiosity, having a passion for the topic, and then ultimately finding purpose in bringing together these amazing leaders in the space and really helping amplify and lift the voice of femtech in Asia worldwide.
Wow, that's super inspiring. And is this something you're doing all by yourself?
Yes, for right now, yes, it's just
Wow.
happy me. So you can imagine the workload is large,
Yeah.
but you'll understand that working, you know, on podcasting and different formats as you do. So, you know, I think it's just one more thing we make time for. And I, you know, there's a lot of interest, which is exciting. So I think we'll have some news as far as bringing more people into the business in the coming months. But for now, it's, you know, a strong start with me. And so,
Wow.
you know, it starts with one person, right? So here we
Yeah,
go.
definitely. No.
Yeah, so it's been good.
That's super. That's really, really cool. I guess kind of seeing as you've started it all by yourself, and this is something that you kind of figured out as you went along, what have been some of the main challenges that you think you faced with it?
Well, I would say, you know, the only other thing I'd say is, yes, I'm kind of the representative of the association, but of course, our, you know, our members are critical.
Yes.
So they've been superbly helpful. So I want to make sure I give them credit and don't sit here and say, I did it all myself. We have amazing members who contribute a lot from their voices, their research, their thought leadership, their platforms. So I want to make sure I credit these individuals as well. So as far as challenges, there are obviously a lot. And I think the challenges that we have here are fairly consistent with what we see worldwide, though we do have a few differences that we could call out. So as far as what we see worldwide, the standard answer that you'll hear from just about anyone who works in femtech is that women have historically been under-researched, underserved, and underfunded. So under-researched in that we were women were omitted from clinical trials for many years. We know that very few very few inventors are female. About 13% is my understanding the number is. You know, the volume of money invested into women's health specific issues outside of oncology is incredibly small, something around 4% or less, even maybe even 2% the number is. So, you know, we just see these trends and we think, you know, we could do more. And part of doing more is actually taking the action, which is really exciting that for that challenge of being under-researched, we're really doing that as we create these businesses and creating learnings, sharing trends and thought leadership. Around being underserved, you know, there obviously has always been a focus on fertility and reproductive care. But women's health is actually so much more than that. So from, you know, menstrual care from a young age, all the way through to menopause, really. So, and looking at chronic illness that women are more likely to suffer from, mental wellness, which is a bigger challenge for women in many ways. So, you know, there's really just a lot that hasn't been offered to women by way of support outside of those reproductive years. So again, femtech can really solve this, not only through the specialties, but by creating an ecosystem that give women a supplement to their amazing medical care, but making sure that we're also giving supplements for knowledge, choice, community, and really, you know, just those safe spaces to learn more with trusted resources. And then finally, as far as, you know, underinvested or lack of investment, I think we've seen that across the board. I don't think that's unique to femtech. I think that's unique as far as female founders go. And being that 80% of our founders here in Asia in the femtech space are female, obviously, unfortunately, we see that same impact with less investment here. Now, having said that, again, the opportunity really is to see early adopters, long-term investors, as well as that diversification of portfolios that we're seeing from, you know, VCs, from angel investors, and people really wanting to get involved in the space. And that's been a really big trend.
Yeah, no, definitely. That kind of answers one of my questions. So what does your organization aim to do? I feel like that is, combating all of those things is super, super inspiring. And I think definitely a lot of space. How have you kind of found it? Because obviously you represent the Femtech Association of Asia. How do you find it managing different, perhaps like requirements in different countries or different, different views in different countries? How do you kind of find that aspect of it?
I think this is where we really are voices for and representatives of, but certainly not speaking on behalf of.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, obviously I'm British and American, so that's, that's my background and ultimately the culture I have the most familiarity with, though I have lived in a number of countries around the world. So I think what we really try to do is amplify. You know, we really try to lift the profile of the individuals in the market, those individuals, consumers and what they want. It may be founders and what they're executing. It might be investors and what they're looking to invest in or what they have invested in. So what we're really trying to do is amplify is kind of the biggest thing that we're trying to do by actually having that expertise through the relationships with our founders around the region and asking them what they think, the trends they're seeing, the experiences they are having.
Yeah.
And in turn, put that into another one of our pillars alongside amplification, which is thought leadership. It's actually sharing those learnings and creating a voice for the different countries in the region. And thank you so much for recognizing that it's a really big region with a lot of different countries and cultures and languages that we cover. So we certainly don't want to speak, for Asia as a whole. We want to make sure, as exactly as you just rightly said, and thank you for that knowledge, really making sure that we separate these countries into their own, but also making sure that we're representing each one correctly and fairly. And we do that through our local contacts, and the ecosystem just keeps growing and the network keeps growing, which is giving us a lot of opportunity, not only to advise from a business sense and a commercial sense, but also in turn be advised and connect with local representatives in these different markets, which really makes a unique kind of symbiotic relationship.
No, that's super, that's really good. I think that's really important and really nice that you listen to everyone basically. And as your network grows, I can only imagine that it will become more and more representative as well, which is super good. And moving away from a trend of kind of telling people what they need, I think listening to them is definitely the way forward and a much better approach.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
But maybe moving on to a bit about the membership itself. So could you share a bit about the membership? So what's it mean if I'm wanting to become part of Femtech Association of Asia?
No, thank you for asking that. So I really do appreciate that. So we talked a little bit about amplification. Mm. We talked a little bit about thought leadership as two of our five pillars.
Yeah.
Covering the other two pillars, they're pretty much the critical parts of the membership. The first part of that is obviously the community. So joining Femtech Association of Asia, we get to meet other people in the industry in Asia firsthand.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, other founders, might be journalists, might be investors, might be just enthusiasts, people who are passionate about the space and can help spread the word and support the business initiatives that our different, our different startups have. So I think first and foremost, it's actually creating a community here in Asia that can share information. And that's really important. It seems like a small thing, but actually, first of all, we've never had a community over here for it.
Yeah,
so, there are fintech communities or prop tech communities or fitness professional communities. So we wanted to make sure that we had one for our interests and our needs and our focus as well in women's health. So I think it is, first of all, nice to speak with other people who are finding a lot of the same challenges. It might be things like a taboo or a stigma that's from the particular for country and how they've overcome it. It might be sharing a case study about social media and all the regulation that sometimes doesn't allow us to post the words we need to post or show the images we need to show in order to express the support that our company or the solution that our company offers. So how do we work around that? So a lot of times it's sharing what we've done and how that works. It could even be, I'm looking for a developer. I want someone who understands the women's health space. Does anyone have any recommendations for whom they use? I'm looking for a copywriter. So, you know, a lot of it could even be staffing support. And also it's just sharing information and news. The second part that I would really highlight, of course, there are other benefits to the membership as well, but the second part that I would highlight as critical, along with that community or that network, that you automatically get a network. You don't need to build yours from scratch, especially when the questions like distribution or who's your manufacturer, you know, using this network to do that and actually build a business. And then the second part of it is really, I think, the key part. There are obviously other benefits, but the key part really is the programming. So it's actually being involved in events and programming, talks, panels that actually provide insight, learning, knowledge, whether it's something, for instance, next month, we're having a talk with actually your company, ScreenMe, about the vaginal microbiome. This is a very hot topic in femtech right now. It's getting a lot of coverage. Not all of us know a lot about it. So what a great opportunity to have an organization that's actually bringing these topics to the forefront to share what these words mean and how they can be impacted, you know, or what impact they have in the market. So it's really starting to understand the trends in the space as well. We could talk about the metaverse and AI. We can talk about, we did a talk a while back on healthcare in the metaverse and what that could mean for women, or the metaverse in general and what that means for women. So it's actually trying to give some perspectives about how people can think about their business and where they take their next step. And we also have events like we just partnered, we were the local partner for the Women's Health Innovation Summit, the inaugural event here in Asia, which was the first time we'd ever really seen anything that large scale for women's health and femtech in Asia. And we were really proud to be a part of that and look forward to hosting more larger scale conferences as the femtech, you know, as the femtech community continues to grow.
Congrats on that recent conference. I think that was, something super interesting. And of course, we're super excited to partner with you in the future and speak about the vaginal microbiome. But yeah, I agree, the learning and community part is obviously so, so, so important. And I think bringing people together that have the same passions and the same knowledge almost and can help each other is just something that, that collaboration is really important for the femtech space. So you also, you mentioned the community. So what does that look like? Say if I was to become a member, what does that, is that on a platform? Is that, so you mentioned a few in-person events or online events and stuff. What does that kind of look like as a community member?
So as we are, of course, across nine countries, we have, you know, membership from across nine countries. And some international clients as well, or members as well, who we work with. But obviously, we focus mostly on Asia. So, you know, we feel like that's our, you know, our sweet spot, our specialty and our expertise. So really, it's a part of course, we have our in-person meetups. You know, we have obviously our social and just networking events, community events, just to get to know each other. Obviously, though, everyone can't fly to Singapore or Hong Kong or Vietnam every time there's an event. We try to make sure we have enough virtual events that people can log in online and be a part of it. Also, the virtual events are nice because they actually invite the community to be a part of the discussion in a really anonymous way that, you know, people can call in without actually having to be present, you know, so it kind of takes away some of those barriers to entry or knowledge that might be a little intimidating for someone who isn't used to talking about these things, you know, menstruation every day or menopause every day or hormonal health. So, you know, it's a really nice way to include our community. As far as engagement goes, we have, you know, we have our website, which is great. Moreover, and most importantly, we have our LinkedIn page. That's really where we share a lot of our information. And that's really what we prioritize as far as really getting the word out there. Mm-hmm. And the reason we really focus on LinkedIn as opposed to Instagram or Facebook, which Facebook is obviously a really important platform in a lot of countries here in Southeast Asia. It's almost used as Google in some places. So we really do respect Facebook as a platform. But we've started with LinkedIn because we're really focused on the commercial aspect of femtech. So we really want to make sure we're building those commercial networks, that commercial presence for the industry, because we very much want people to think of us as an industry and not just, oh, women's social impact. We really want to make sure we're separating that. It's a wonderful byproduct and something we care about. We care about solving, you know, period poverty. We care about access for someone who may be in a rural community. But we also want to make sure that this is treated and thought of as equally as a fintech, a prop tech, an ag tech, any of the other tech industries. Mm. We also have, of course, a private WhatsApp group. So we do have that available because it's again, a safe space where people can actually chat about what's happening in the region in particular and share the ideas and thoughts, knowing that there really is an understanding in general for how the region operates. And that could be the stage and that the majority of our business here are pre-seed. Of course, we have a few that have raised, you know, over a million, but the majority are pre-seed still. So really it is that entrepreneurial start.
Yeah.
And it could be even connecting with enthusiasts. So we have a number of people who've said, I already have a day job. I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. I'm, you know, I work for a large tech firm, but I really just want to get involved in this exciting, you know, kind of this exciting industry. How can I help? Does anyone need help? I'm literally willing to help for free. And we all love that, right? As a startup. So, you know, it's really just a bunch of passionate people who are using this, you know, this platform, this WhatsApp group to really just, you know, discuss, connect, support, and everything in between.
Mm, that's amazing. I think that's also super exciting that you have so many passionate and driven people on board. I guess leading on from that, where do you see the FemTech Association of Asia next? Like, what's your next moves? Like, what do you see for you guys in the future? I know you recently held the Women's Health Innovation Summit, as you mentioned, which is amazing. And where do you kind of see it progressing? If you can, say so.
Asking for all my secrets, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, I love it. I love it. No, I mean, we're an open book. We want people to know. So we talked about our four pillars: thought leadership, amplification, programming, and community or community building. And we're adding a fifth pillar now, which is really taking everything we've learned over the past couple of years in Asia, the research we've done, the studies we've done, the interviews we've done, the events we've hosted, you know, the community we've built, taking that and actually starting to implement advisory. So actually getting into the consulting space. So that may be, you know, supporting businesses coming into Asia, that could be helping those businesses connect with maybe, you know, businesses they want to work with over here. So it's really around advising what's happening in the Asia landscape from a very objective perspective, which we have, of course, because we don't work for any one business. We are an association that's independent. So we have very, you know, objective perspectives. And so what we're trying to do is really support also, along with businesses coming into the region, helping the businesses here with their knowledge around business. You know, it might be something around someone has a great background in finance, but maybe they're not as strong in marketing. It's actually supporting that marketing branch then. And it's also starting to work with larger scale corporates and investors. From the investor side, it's what's happening in FemTech? Why should I invest in FemTech? Why does this matter? You know, what is the future going to look like? So it's actually starting to help people understand what the market is and what the industry looks like here. So what are the opportunities? The second side is looking at the big corporate, as I mentioned, and actually saying, how can we connect and not only educate, but help those companies, these large companies, kind of bridge the gap between the local community and being a very high up corporate with a big brand that people just might not feel connected to. So we kind of build that relationship for them. So we're doing more advisory work on helping companies kind of build the connection to of a more grassroots level. And really ultimately we're seeing, you know, good results from the people we've spoken with. We're really finding a lot of people open to the education we're offering, the community we're building, and kind of the impact I think that we can have through our knowledge and sharing that out through advisory.
Yeah, definitely. That's really interesting how you can put all that learning that you've taken from everyone around you and actually listening to people and put it to good use and really use it to help propel the space and make it bigger. So that's really impressive and really exciting, I imagine.
It is exciting. And I think really what we're trying to do is support the build of the ecosystem and inspire collaboration. And, you know, if it's not us that someone wants to connect with, can we connect them with someone else, you know, who would be within? So it's really just trying to have a voice in this global dialogue of FemTech and women's health to say that, you know, Asia's on the move. We are, you know, fast growing with, you know, massive populations with a lot of untapped, you know, consumer and markets that we can get involved. And the opportunity we feel here is huge. So If people can figure out how to tackle that, which of course we're happy to help advise them how to do that, then we think that there could be a lot of momentum here in Asia in the coming.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it's such a large population and half of which are women. And I think you mentioned at the beginning, what was it, 14% of femtech companies are based in Asia. So I think it's just such an untapped potential market.
Absolutely.
And I think, the stuff you're just going to, grow and grow and grow, I think.
Sorry to jump in. I just wanted to also say, I think it's really exciting also, or what I get really excited about, is there is so much space for more entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So for entrepreneurs to start their businesses, there's so much space. There isn't a ton of competition yet here. So if someone is an entrepreneur and they're excited about launching somewhere and starting a business in the women's health space or femtech space or fem care or fem health, this is such an amazing market to do it.
Yeah.
So a lot of businesses even set up their businesses in Singapore, which is a small market, around, I think it's 5.183 million or something like that.
Yeah.
So we're a small market. But the business, the regulation is pure, it's clear, it's clean, it's simple, and people are very connected, well-traveled, well-educated. So it's an amazing country to start a business. And then to build out around Southeast Asia, it's 2-hour flights to the majority of, countries around us. So it's so easy to get connected and it's a great place to start a business. So, definitely interested in chatting with more businesses as they want to make their way into Asia, because there's just so much opportunity here.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure lots of people will follow that up and want to do so, I think,
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
With regards to Singapore as well, as you mentioned, I know that the Femtech Association of Asia conducted its first ever consumer survey in 2022 for Singapore. What were kind of the insights from that? Was there anything that stood out to you? Yeah, what were kind of learnings that you took from that?
Thank you for asking about that. Yes, it was our first consumer survey. We finished another one in the Philippines, which we'll be releasing the results of soon. Ooh. And then we're following up with one more country soon. We'll announce that very soon, but we have another one in the pipeline ready for launch, probably around the June timeframe. So we had some really wonderful learnings and some challenging learnings. So as far as wonderful learnings go, we found that almost 50% of women in Singapore prioritize their health and wellness. So they really saw that as critical and a critical part of their life. And whether that's exercise, diet, seeing a medical professional regularly, getting their checkups, whatever that might be, they really taking supplements, they prioritize their health. The concern for that, or the other side, might be that 9% of women in Singapore say that they put their health last behind everyone else's health. So we're not actually following for that 9%. We're not actually following on the airplane, you put on your mask first and then you can help everyone else. We're not actually following that. So many women are just overwhelmed. And by the way, when I say women, please know I'm inclusive of those who may not identify as women, those who have women's healthcare needs. I'm using that as an inclusive term, please. So, there are a number of women still, or a handful of women, almost 10%, 9% specifically, who shared that they just put everyone else, their children, their parents, their siblings, their work, you know, they put everything else above their health. And that, of course, is always concerning because, you know, the best way to help everyone around you and do great and be productive at work is to be healthy, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was a really interesting insight. And as far as why people said they didn't prioritize their health care, those who maybe didn't say weren't part of the 9%, but those who said they'd like to more, and almost everyone said they'd like to prioritize their health care more, which is really good news. So it's like, what is keeping them from doing that?
Mm.
I said time was the number one thing. Knowledge was number two, and funds was the number three thing, i.e. the expense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that leads us directly into when we asked the three qualities that were most important for women when they think about their health care. In Singapore, women said number one was the cost. That was what they think about the most when they think about their health care. Number two was trust. And what we actually found with trust, which was an interesting insight, was the higher the income, trust actually moved to the number one thing, which actually makes sense. You know, the more money someone has, the more, the less the expense of healthcare matters, but the more you want to make sure you're getting the best healthcare possible from someone you really trust. And so, you know, cost, trust, and thirdly was convenience, which completely matches with the 33% of women who said they'd like to prioritize their health more, but they just don't have time.
Mm.
So, you know, I think the convenience is really what femtech can answer, whether it's telehealth, whether it's at-home delivery of, you know, prescriptions or birth control, whether it's at-home STI testing. So forgetting even the discretion, the security, the safety, which of course is all really wonderful to have. There's also a simple convenience factor that it comes to your house. You can get it done at home on your way to work, drop in the post office and, you know, post or it goes back or get it collected. And it goes back to the company that will run the results for you or analyze the results for you. So I think that convenience is so important, especially in some of these big cities like Singapore, where people are just go, go, go. It's really nice to have that convenience. And I think Femtech answers that. Overall, people said healthcare is very accessible in Singapore. Singapore is just known for having fabulous healthcare. And so we're really fortunate to live here and have that access. Affordability, maybe a bit less. It is quite expensive to live in Singapore. We've seen it number one in the world as far as the most expensive city to live. In the past year, we've seen rents going up on an average of about 35%.
Wow.
So we can imagine everything, you know, we see also increasing as far as price goes.
Yeah.
Having said that, the quality is very high. The houses are fantastic. You know, everything about living here really is fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is quality behind that.
Mm.
Now, we do see, though, that 74% of women said it wasn't that affordable. So 3/4 said the healthcare is getting quite expensive for them. And we had about 30% of women said they spend, you know, far over $1,000 a year on their healthcare.
Wow.
So I think the other thing, and then we can get on to your next question. But the last thing I wanted to share, which I thought was really interesting, was just what women know about and what women maybe don't know about when it comes to women's health. Almost all women said the number one most familiar femtech category was menstrual care and menstrual health, which makes sense because we've all had, you know, our period as women. I shouldn't say all, the majority of us have been menstruators at some point. So beyond that, women felt like they knew the most about mental health, which I thought was really reassuring that that taboo isn't, or stigmas or taboos around mental health are not being, are not as maybe severe as they used to be, especially with younger generations, really being more comfortable talking about the challenges that we have. So I think that was really exciting to see. When we look at what people know the least about, was not surprised to see menopause at number one that women said that they knew the least about. It, you know, there's so much that is unknown about menopause, even from the scientific side or the medical side. But we add to that, just we don't really think about things often until we're going through it.
Yeah.
So it's just that later point in life when we finally consider it. And secondly, what I found surprising, but certainly not unexpected, I shouldn't say not surprising per se, but just I didn't even think about it really, which explains I'd be one of those people, chronic illness. So chronic illness does impact us more as we age again. Chronic illness does impact women more often than men.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, you know, that might be something else that we could highlight as opportunity for new femtech businesses in the menopause and hormonal health and chronic illness space.
Yeah.
Maybe some really good opportunities there for founders coming into Asia.
Yeah, no, definitely. That sounds super interesting. And I think also from, I obviously do a lot of work in vaginal health and the vaginal microbiome. And if that was even on people's radars, I think we've found people that don't even know about it until they're kind of having severe issues, but actually the majority of people are asymptomatic. So I think there's just, as you say, so much space. And that's why those surveys are also so interesting, so that you can kind of get an insight into where we're going right, as you say, and also where we're going wrong. So that's, yeah, no, super, super interesting. But thank you. No, thank you so much for that. I'm aware that we're probably drawing to the end of the podcast episode now, but it's been so, so, so lovely to have you on the show. And thank you so much. I guess, yeah, is there anything else you want to say before we head off?
I would just say thank you for having me on. Thank you for helping us, you know, raise the profile of Asia and Femtech in Asia and the Femtech Association of Asia as well. And we hope anyone who wants to reach out does, because we always love connecting and building our global network and ecosystem. So thank you so much for your time, Jessica. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you. It's been super interesting. And we'll tag all of your socials. And so anyone that wants to get in touch, obviously get in touch with the wonderful Lindsay. I'm sure you've got lots more to say.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.